Really fun words from James there, if you caught all that. He's blasting us again, it feels like. I don't know, when you read the book of James every week, it seems like he uses harsh words, if you notice. Almost every week he brings up the old devil. James, we just want to talk about fun stuff. I want to get to the pumpkin stuff after church, okay? But James loves us. God loves us. He wants us to grow and to change. So James is encouraging on this church of mostly Jewish Christians about 2,000 years ago to maturity. And for that church to mature, he is probably an older man at the time and very respected, unlike me, and able to say some of these things to us. So keep in mind, when we go through this, that I am not saying these things to you. James is. And we're just reading scripture, and I'm commenting on it. Okay? And so what we want to do is kind of look at another topic that James brings up, quarreling, fighting. Notice the question he asks in verse 1 of chapter 4, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Last week he asked us a question, and then he answered it. And this week he asks the question, and he's going to answer it for us. What causes... Hey, Jared. What's up, man? What causes fights and quarrels among you? Now, interestingly, we just want to pick this apart a little bit, and I want to explain what you might have heard if you were reading this in Greek, which is what this was written in. At least this is what the original manuscripts are written in. What he says there in Greek, you would have heard it like this. What causes wars and battles among you? Fights and quarrels. In the Greek, it's wars and battles. So what causes big fights among you and what causes little fights among you? Wars and battles. And he answers it. Do they not come from your desires that battle within you? So what I want to do this morning is look to James. He's asking us, what causes, are there fights and quarrels in the world? Are there fights and quarrels in churches? Are there fights and quarrels in families? Do you ever have an argument with anyone? Do you ever have contentions, disagreements, ever in your life? Do you know anybody, or are you sometimes maybe instigative? No. I heard my wife and I were somewhere the other day, and this guy, she told me to park in this one spot, and I was like, no. So, this guy came up, and he started to park in that one spot. We went up the street, and I'm rabbit trailing right now. But anyways, and when we came back, like maybe, I don't know, 5-7 minutes later, the guy's still parking the car in that spot, and his wife walks by us and says, it only took you 20 times as he's getting out of the car. A little instigative, don't make your husband look like a putz in front of us, So, anyways, instigative though, little digs, grumpy even. These are all sort of the parts of what make us quarrel and fight within the marriage, within the family unit, within the church, within a country. And notice what he says. So what I want to do is I want to look at these 10 verses, and he will tell us, James, the cause of our quarreling, the consequences of our quarreling, and the cure for our quarreling in those 10 verses. So first, the cause of the quarreling, he answers it in the last part of verse 1. Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but you don't get it, Eric. You kill and you covet. Remember, kill and covet, when I'm angry, what did Jesus say that is? Murder in your heart. So that's what James is getting at. You're angry, and that to Christ is, it's you're murdering your brother. James, don't say such hard things. You kill and you covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and you fight. You war and you battle. You battle and you war. You don't have because you don't ask God. And when you do ask God, you ask with wrong motives that you may spend it on your pleasures or your desires. Notice something in verse 1. Don't quarrels come from your desires? And notice something in verse 3. You ask with wrong motives that you may spend it on your pleasures. Those are the same two words in verse 1 and in verse 3. And that word is hedone in the Greek. In our English language, that's hedon. Hedonism. Anybody know what hedonism means? I'll tell you what hedonism means. It means it's a philosophical movement that really began in the Renaissance 500 years ago. Hedonism kind of makes pleasure mankind's chief end. Hedonism is a philosophical idea that says that I should feel good. I want to feel good. I want to have pleasure. Hedonism. So this is what James says if you're listening in the Greek. What causes wars and battles among you? Don't they come from your hedonism? That battle within you? And he says in verse 3, when you ask, you don't receive because you ask with wrong motives that you may spend it on your hedonism. Hedonism. So this is the answer to what causes fights and quarrels among us. What makes human beings argue? Hedonism. That's what James says. The reason we fight each other in the core of us is that I want to feel good. And when things honestly aren't going my way, or when hypothetically a spouse isn't doing something we want, I don't feel good. I think it should be another way. And it's hedonism battling in me that really came from going back to the Garden of Eden again. When human beings, for the first time in history, we saw most stuff ties back to the Garden of Eden. They want to feel good, right? They want to eat, and they want to have wisdom, and they want to be like God. Hedonism began. So that deep in our human nature, deep in you where nobody else is, believe it or not, admit it or not, you want to feel happy and good. And the only time you're happy and good is when you feel happy and good. When's the last time you were having a bad day, somebody insulted you, you weren't getting your way, and you felt good? It's because of hedonism. When Jesus says, we saw on Wednesday night, well, I want you to rejoice when you're insulted, Eric, and persecuted, and people say false things against you. And we see all through Scripture the theme that I want you to rejoice even in sufferings. But see, hedonism's in us. It's this idea that I want to have a good day today. I want to feel good today, and I want things to go well. So this is what James is saying. The reason you fight with each other, and you got to look back at this church filled with mostly Jewish Christians, there was a movement going on where more and more Greek Christians were coming in, more and more Gentile Christians, non-Jewish Christians, and probably what was happening was there was beginning to be discussions in the church about the law and grace and how they work together, and should these Gentiles get circumcised and become Jews, really, or do they not have to do that? And there was a lot of discussion within the early church about these themes, and this could have been James's concern, is that it's not bad to have disagreements, church. It's a normal part of life, but what's bad is when it turns into wars and battles and hedonism, and you're not arguing. When's the last time you were arguing with somebody because of genuine concern for them? I think it happens with parents with their children. I think a lot of times parents argue with children because you genuinely want what's best for your children. But it doesn't probably go much farther than your children, does it? Usually you're arguing because this is the way human nature is, okay? You tend to, please don't throw an apple at me, but you tend and I tend to think we're right about everything we believe. Right? Just Ask somebody after church, let's talk about politics. Right? I know I'm right about that. And you're wrong. If you think differently. And so we argue because what's going on is now I think my way is right. I want to feel good. I want you to acknowledge what I think is right. I want you to acknowledge you're wrong. That will feel really good for me right now. And it's really hard for us to admit when we're wrong. When's the last time you admitted you were wrong? When's the last time you were in a discussion and it was getting heated and you said, you know what, I think you might be right and I might be wrong. Could it be possible that we're wrong sometimes? Just a thought. No, and Donna's like, no, not me. Yeah. It's just the way we are. It goes back to the garden. So James is saying this is what's going on. It's not bad to have a disagreement with your spouse. What's bad is when it starts getting heated and it turns into a fight or a quarrel. Now it's getting evil. And the reason this is happening is you've went from a discussion about stuff to now you're fighting because you want to win, you want your way. And that's hedonism. You want to feel good. Just think about this for a few days and see if this might be the cause of many of the reasons we fight and quarrel. So you see four different things here that James says. Look at verse 1. Why do you fight and quarrel? Because of your hedonism that battles within you. And you want to feel good, basically. That's what he's saying. Don't they come from your hedonism? Don't they come from your desires in you to feel good? That's what James is saying, so wrestle with that. And don't they come from your desire to have? Doesn't he say that? Look at verse 2. You want something, but you don't get it, so you kill and you covet, but you cannot have what you want. So you're angry. So you fight because you don't have your way. This desire to have goes back to the garden too. I just want that fruit. If you, as a Christian, do not begin to see that all human beings at our deepest level fight with the same kind of stuff, you cannot begin to grow and move on as a Christian. You don't think anything's wrong with you. But I'll stand up here and tell you there's a lot wrong with me. I got a lot to work on. And the more I learn, the less I know. And the more I read and study, the more I'm like, oh my goodness. When I first became a Christian, I started reading. I thought, man, I'm super Christian. And the more I've read over the years, the more it's like, oh no. I got this and that to work on. So this is for all of us that we have these. You have a desire in you to feel good. I guarantee it. It's somewhere in there. And it's not bad, except that when we begin to let it rule us so that we'll fight someone, yell, quarrel, get grumpy, angry, call them names, all of the rest of that we do, it's really coming from this desire to feel good, to have my way, I think I'm right. Another possibility here that James brings up is that you're trying to feel good in an argument, for instance, apart from God. Doesn't he say that in the last part of verse 2? You don't have because you don't ask God. So you're trying to get something. God's way isn't, you know what? This person's wrong, Lord. And so he says to me, yeah, they are wrong. So you know what? You should start arguing with them right now and tell them how wrong they are and how stupid they are. Is that what God is saying? No, so that's my own way of trying to get what I think should happen. It's very tricky. You see, you're a very intelligent being. You're so intelligent that you can trick yourself. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And I can trick myself into thinking I'm doing something noble by blasting this person right now. Or my wife needs to change. This is hypothetical. So I'll change your Lord. You just step back, Father. Let me handle this. So we try to do things apart from God. I'll talk about that in a minute. And then, very important, this is the garden thing. This is the thing that we all have to kind of learn about ourselves as Christians. In verse 3, is that I argue out of brokenness. And this is where we get the brokenness. When you ask, you don't receive, Eric. Because when you're asking God, let me have my way, let this happen, let me get what I want, you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend it on your hedonism, that you may feel good. And that word, wrong motives in the Greek, it's one word, and it means brokenness. It means to be sick and ill and wicked. That's what kind of word that word is. It's not a nice word. This is what James is saying. He's saying, when you ask God for something, you want your way, you want to feel good, you don't get it because you're asking out of your brokenness. And he's going back to the garden, this broken, fallen state that we human beings try to get happiness out of. Does that make sense? So, James says, this is the reason you quarrel. This is the reason you're grumpy right now. This is the reason you're angry. This is the reason you just, you know, yelled at that person on the road. This is the reason for small battles and big battles. Hedonism in human nature from the garden, a desire to feel good instead of a desire to take up my cross and follow Jesus. That's what he says. That's how I want you to feel good. I'm like, no, I don't want to take up the cross, Jesus. I want everybody to like me. I want them all to say nice things about me. I want every driver on the road to give me the right of way. And when they cut me off, I would like them to pull over and apologize, right? Every time my wife and I are in a disagreement, I want her to admit she's wrong. Lord, you know she is, right? If there's anything going on at church, it should be my way. This is what's going on in human nature. That's the cause of quarreling and fighting. It is not the cause of disagreements. I can be right about something and handle it wrong by letting my feel-good inside of me desires take over and me fight for it. It's not who's right and wrong in an argument for the Christian. It's how you handle that argument. That's it. There is definitely disagreements. I'll show you hedonism. Today after church, let's all go to lunch, and we'll all decide after church where we're going to go. And you'll see hedonism. I don't want to go to that place. It's just in us. Okay, and then we have to know the consequences. He gets a little, he's gonna get a little rough with us again here. Look at verse 4. You adulterous people. See, he just called us a name. Okay? Don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God? And anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Jesus said that as well. That's where James is getting this. He's remembering the Lord say this. Or you think that the scripture says without reason, the spirit he caused to live in us envies intensely. So this is the idea here, is that the consequences, James is saying, of us giving in to wanting to feel good as human beings, is we become adulterous spiritually. And this is what he's getting at. You see, Israel was God's spiritual bride in the Old Testament. And he would write the book of Hosea, for instance, and use a prophet to say, you've cheated on me by going after other gods. We are the bride of Christ, aren't we? Spiritually. So this is what he's saying. He's saying, when you let your desire to feel good get you angry so that you'll fight a human being, and angry, when you're angry with your brother, is like murder to me, this is harsh, but you're being like the world, and being a friend of the world is an enemy of God. You're entering into the world's mode of wisdom. You have to listen to last week's sermon. You're entering into a different way of doing things than God's way of doing it. And what ends up happening is you're acting like an adulteress. My bride doesn't act like that, you see. Now, we all fail at this. This is a practicing matter. But this is what you're doing. You're acting adulterous. Christ said, I could call down a legion of angels and just strike you all down right now. But I won't. I'm not going to fight you. And he would get stern with someone, especially when other people were listening for their sake. But oftentimes, like when they were illegally arresting him the night he was betrayed, and they would accuse him, he wouldn't even say anything back. There's no reason for me to fight you. And he wants us to be like that. If somebody hits you on the, or slaps you, I don't care what you think it is in the Greek. If somebody does something bad to your face, closed fist or opened, or metaphorically, or literally, let them do it to you again. If somebody takes your coat, I want you to give them your, if somebody wants your shirt, give them your jacket too. If they force you to go 1 mile, I want you to go 2. This is what Jesus is saying. This is what my bride is like, and I want you to practice it. It's going to be hard because the fallen nature, the sinful nature in you, the brokenness in all of us human beings, but this is the beginning point, is know what causes it. As a Christian, that's all. Know what's going on. Know what it's like to God is not nice. You see, the reason he says, wow, you're adulteresses and you're being friends of the world is because fighting and quarreling destroys marriages. It completely destroys churches. Not disagreements. But when you want your way so bad, you will fight your brother for it or your spouse for it. It destroys children. Why does mom and dad fight all the time? Why are they getting a divorce? I remember that. It destroys countries, fighting and quarreling, not disagreements. And so God is saying, this is why I'm using this strong language through James. I just want you to know how really bad wanting your way to the point of fighting someone is. Instead of letting them either have their way, bearing with them, forgiving them, and so on. And we can continue on here. That's why it says there in verse 5, don't you think the scripture says without reason that the spirit he caused to live in us envies intensely? Any of you wise Bible studiers can come up to me afterward if you want to talk about what that means. But in context with you adulterous people, it's saying that God has put his Holy Spirit in his people. This is what I believe it means. Some people believe it means just that God put a human spirit in you, your spirit, you. But in context, it seems more reasonable that what James is saying is he's put his Holy Spirit in you, and he's a jealous God. And see, when Jesus is dwelling in my heart, right, the Holy Spirit's in me, and I go to argue and fight with you and murder you in my heart, I'm grieving him. And I'm not trying to live the way he wants, and he's right there. Same thing if I do something really bad, right? And God's with you, and you're doing something he knows bad, not even fighting, let's just say something else, whatever's coming to your mind. And he's right there with the Spirit living in you, and it makes him jealous, it makes him envy. You're the bride of Christ, and you're doing things the world's way. So those are some of the consequences of fighting. You become sort of adulterous to God if you live this way. Now, we all fail at it, and you say, oh, Lord, forgive me for getting angry. You know, I was short with my cat. Forgive me, Lord, you know. And this is part of the Christian life. And you realize that was because I wanted to feel good. I was watching the TV. The cat won't shut up, right? He wants to eat. And you know, so that's kind of the idea with my cat, but this isn't serious when it gets to be people. And I'm going to get angry because I have a right. There's never a reason for you and your spouse to yell at each other and fight. There's definitely lots of reasons to disagree. But when you begin to feel that that disagreement is becoming, now I'm one in my way so bad that I'm starting to call him names and I'm getting instigative. I'm starting to point out how stupid he is. Okay? And now I'm starting to point out not only what we're talking about, but I'm going to bring up everything else, too, that's been on my mind about him. I'm going to throw it on him right now. Okay? And this works the other way around as well. This is the time when you step off, we're going to make a covenant, for instance, in our marriage. We are not going to fight. We're not going to yell. It's normal to have disagreements, but when the conversations become heated, we are going to step off, and we're going to come back to it when we can be godly about this disagreement. Because if we enter into yelling and fighting and screaming, those words cut, and 20 years later, you'll remember what he said to you. Remember the tongue thing we talked about last week or whenever? And it becomes evil. James is being protective of this church. He doesn't want this to happen. So we know the causes. That we all have disagreements, but the reason you'll get angry is because you want to feel good. We know that the consequences can be kind of drastic. God starts calling us adulterous and world-likers and an enemy of God, it says, doesn't it, in the text? You'd be like an enemy of God. Now, the cure. I must practice the cure. Now, here's the cure. Here's some godly wisdom for how to handle the next time you start feeling heated. You feel like someone's wrong. You feel like, you know, this is something worth discussing, but I'm not going to get angry. This is how you do it. James tells us. Look at verse 6. He hasn't changed the subject again. I keep saying that. But God gives more grace, and that's why the scripture says, God will oppose you if you're proud and want to fight for yourself. Remember what we said pride is and humility is in Sunday school? Humility is dependence upon God. I can't do anything about my fears. I can't do anything about our argument. Humility. God must do it for me. This is the secret to fighting. God's opposed to the proud. And if you're angry and yelling and calling names, you're being proud right now. And we all do it. But he gives grace to the humble. Like that woman yesterday or whenever it was that said it took him 20 times. That was kind of proud. You're making your husband look like a ding-dong in front of us. And how many times would it have taken you to park there? Right? It's pride. It's pride. You're embarrassed right now in front of us. And that's why you're saying that out loud about your husband, because you think that we were even noticing. I didn't even notice until you pointed it out. Oh, yeah, he did start to park 10 minutes ago, you know. That's why I didn't park there. I'd be there for half an hour trying to, you know, anyways. It's pride. Here you go. Here's some more. How to fight quarreling. Submit yourselves into God. He's still talking about fighting and quarreling. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. You mean the devil has something to do with this? Again? Didn't he just bring up demons and the devil last week with my tongue? Isn't the devil just some kind of like art thing? It's not real, is it? Come near to God and he'll come near to you in the fight or the quarrel. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded, grieve, mourn, wail, change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. We see these same words in Peter and in the book of Proverbs. Here's the secret. This is godly wisdom. Are you ready? Let's just use the marriage unit, but this will work with any time you begin to have a quarrel with someone. And it's very important to James that we deal with this because quarrels destroy. Okay? The words you're going to use, the tone of voice, the mean face dad that you're going to get right now that your kid's going to remember when he grows up, and he's going to start giving the same mean face to his kids. Awesome. What a legacy. Okay? I'm the same way. I'm just saying, this is why we want to understand what's going on here. We want to understand the importance of it so that we can change as Christians. Well, Eric, I didn't come to church today to change. Oh. Okay. This is what we would say. Heavenly wisdom. God can only make you right or wrong in the argument. Isn't that what he says? Look what he says. Submit yourselves then to God in verse 7. God's opposed to the proud but gives grace to the humble. And in verse 10, if you humble yourselves before the Lord, he'll lift you up. So here's the secret of when a disagreement starts to turn into a fight is I have to realize, wow, I'm starting to fight right now because of hedonism and brokenness. Because Christ wouldn't want me to fight right now. It's going to be really bad to him when I do that. God doesn't like it because it destroys things and people. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to humble myself. Humility means I'm going to not try to fight for myself. I'm going to let God, I'm going to step off. I'm going to let God take care of it. And he can either lift me up or not. He can either make me right or wrong, win the fight or lose the fight. Does that make sense? That's serious heavenly wisdom right there. See, what you're doing is you're taking your Christianity from a church thing on Sunday to it's changing me and I'm beginning to practice it now in a fight. I'm realizing what's happening. I'm realizing the seriousness of this in Scripture. And I'm realizing the way we can discuss, we can disagree. That's all good and healthy and normal. But if it's going to start making us fight, I'm going to step off because I don't want to feed this thing in me from the garden that makes me want to feel good. And I'm going to humble myself before God. Maybe I'm right. Maybe I'm wrong, Lord. I don't know. You know, help me to have an open mind. Help me to listen to the other person. Right? Do you ever watch on the news? Even my favorite news programs, which I won't tell you what they are. Some of you might know already. But they argue. They're not even listening. The other person begins to say something, and the other person, he's not even listening. He just waits till the person's done so I can get out what I need to say. We do that when we're fighting with our spouse, too. Okay, now my turn. Let me fix you. Okay. All right? All right. That's kind of what we do. Instead of, you know what, Lord, I'm going to humble myself. I'm going to step off. I'm going to go to prayer. You know what? Sweetie Pie and I, we're beginning to have a thing here. And, Lord, am I wrong here? And if I'm right, help me to be right well. Because few human beings can be right well. Most of the time when human beings are right, you want to spike the football in the end zone. I told you so. And I'm going to let God resolve this. We've come to an impasse. We'll come back later and talk about it after praying. And God will and this takes what James says here. Notice something. It takes humility, it takes grace, and it takes submission. Submit yourselves to God then. I'm going to have an argument with somebody. We're going to step off, and I'm going to submit to God and let him deal with it. That's taking your Christianity now. And something powerful is beginning to happen in your life. You're beginning to do it. You're beginning to do it consciously because Scripture says this, and now I know what's going on, and I want to change. I want a different climate in my home and in my marriage. So we're going to disagree, but we're not going to fight. We're going to pray when we become heated, and we're going to step off, and we're going to come back together. One couple that's really good at marriage stuff says, I think they say to like hold hands when you're having a heated discussion, right? I don't really like that, right, guys, when we're having a heated thing and my wife wants to like hold each other. I do it too, though, but it's like, you know what I'm saying? But anyways, come back later, and then you see, because what you're doing when you take each other's hands, you're saying, our love supersedes anything that's going on right now. Our love does not depend on how this conversation ends up. Our love is first. This conversation, wherever it goes, we're still going to be holding hands when it's done. And I'm humbled that I could be wrong. I can even be right and not get my way, whatever God wants. You see, oftentimes, most of the time, guys, with my wife, if I think something needs to change in her, like the wives have this toward us husbands as well, Most of the time I pray about it. Most of the time it might take some years for me to see. I let God do it. You see, I can't go up to April and say, you need to change. Now, we might have a relationship where we can talk about stuff and suggest things, but in the end, her and God have to come to that conclusion. See how I'm accessing God? If I fight and quarrel with her, I'm saying, no, I'll fix this, Lord. And she'll just be bitter against you guys. But she'll take it wholeheartedly when God speaks it into her heart. So that takes humility, it takes submission, it takes waiting. It takes letting God do stuff. That's what I like to see. Remember, so only God can make you win or lose. Remember, Satan's involved here. Didn't he just say that? Submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Why are you bringing up the devil? Because the devil wants you and I to fight. He wants to divide the family, he wants to divide the church, he wants to divide people. He wants to destroy you. Did you know that? I'm just saying what the Bible says. There's an arch enemy of God. He used to be on his side. He turned against him, Darth Vader. And he wants to destroy you and your family and your children and your church. It's not going to do me any good to tell you anything other than that. And he wants you to fight and get angry. He wants you to see, you know what, you're right. You're right. And you need to make that person see it right now. Go ahead. So the devil is spiritual warfare, fighting and quarreling. Well, that's what the Bible says anyways. And then lastly, will I admit my guilt if I fought and quarreled, whether I was right or wrong? That if I became angry 99.9% of the time, there is that little tiny squeaky bit of those where it's a God righteous anger. I know all that, guys. But it's very rare. Okay? Very rare indeed. Almost all the time, if you got angry, if you got grumpy, the Holy Spirit doesn't get grumpy. He doesn't get in bad moods. He doesn't feel insulted when somebody does something to him and want to do it back. He's not that way. So I have some good news for you. And some bad news. That's you feeling that way. And Satan likes to feed off of that. And he wants to destroy you by getting you angry and divided with your spouse, with church people, with friends, with all that. And so this is what we have to do. Look what James said. He's, wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded, and grieve and mourn and wail, and turn your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom, and humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Paraphrasing, this is coming from brokenness in you back from the Garden of Eden. You just want to feel good. You should mourn when you fought, and you should grieve, and you should wash your hands and ask for forgiveness, and you should admit, whether you were right or wrong, that it was bad for me to get angry, it was bad for me to yell, it was wrong for me to treat my son that way, it was wrong for me to get those facial expressions. I wasn't controlling the hedonism in me, Lord. Please forgive me. Again. Like, that's my prayer. Please forgive me again. Okay. And that's what you gotta do, is you gotta realize, never is it okay to yell, fight, quarrel in my house, in my marriage, in our church. If it's gotten that way, something's wrong. And if we're fighting, it's very difficult. I know from experience, if somebody is fighting me and yelling at me, it's very difficult. It's almost impossible for me not to do the same thing back. So what a mess we're in. Grieve and mourn and wail and weep. And humble yourselves before God, because what a mess us human beings have made of things. And the whole thing's a mess. And it's very difficult to be godly. It's very difficult to let someone slap you physically or spiritually. It's very difficult to not sting back. It takes extreme Christian maturity and self-control. in love. And I haven't gotten it down yet, but I'm working on it. Lord, we thank you for this time, and I pray again that you would give us soft hearts and a willingness to go away and think about not what some little man ranted about up there, but what your word, the Bible, says. And to go away and say, is what that man just said what the Bible is saying right there? And if so, how does it apply to my life, and how do you want me to change, Lord? And so I pray that you would help us all to ask the Holy Spirit to give us sensitive hearts and to take away something from this message, except for maybe that one person here who has none of these problems. In Jesus' name, amen.